So we begin this week for the next couple of Sundays going through the Sermon on the Mount. Last week, if you remember, we had the Feast of the Presentation, which superseded the normal cycle of readings. And so last week, if it had been a regular Sunday of ordinary time, we would have heard the Beatitudes. When Jesus goes up to the mountain, sits down, and begins to teach, reminiscent of Moses going up the mountain, receiving the Ten Commandments, and then going down and teaching the Israelite people what it meant to be in covenant, in communion with the Holy Father. And so this is what Jesus is doing at the beginning of Matthew's gospel, just setting the stage for what it means to be a member of the church, a faithful disciple of Jesus. And at the end of those Beatitudes, he says, "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of me." So he's putting himself in that prime position of the chief, the lawgiver, the Lord. And we're all called to follow him. And we know, blessed are the poor, the meek, those who suffer, the merciful, the peacemakers. Kind of shifting the idea of what it meant to be the chosen one. Not necessarily a status of prominence and power, but one of service. And it's that posture of service that we can look at the gospel today, of being salt and being light. He tells them, you are. Definitively, this is who you are as my disciple, salt and light. And for us living in this modern world, maybe those adjectives, those analogies don't ring so true to us, aren't so outstanding to us, because we have electricity. We have access to light 24 hours a day. And salt is everywhere. We use it as a commodity, as something extra. But for the people in the time of Jesus, light and salt were a matter of life and death. They didn't have electricity, so there was no refrigeration. Salt was used primarily as a preservative to keep their food from spoiling. It also, as we know, enhances flavor. I think most of us are accustomed to salt being an additive after food is cooked. At the table, we add salt to add a taste to it. But usually, maybe primarily, salt is added at the beginning process to really evoke the true flavor of the food. So as we enjoy it, we don't taste the salt. We taste the true flavor of the food. And light, a candle, an oil lamp, is not accessible 24/7. It will burn out. There's a finality to it. And neither the oil lamp or the candle produces its own light. It must receive the light from something or someone else. All of these images need to be or should be in our mind as we hear these words of Jesus, as he calls us out into the world to be salt and to be light. So to bring out the flavor, or to add, enhance flavor, because as we know how bland and boring the world can be, and how it's the culture of death is so rampant in our world that the salt to preserve the life that's there is necessary. And how dark the world is, or can be. And we can't just expect a nonstop source of electricity to bring light. It must be intentional. And we know the power of darkness. We've lived through hurricanes and through storms. We know how debilitating it is when we lose power and we lose our lights and our refrigerator is woefully close to going bad. That gives us kind of an idea of how important salt and light is for our everyday life. and so much more so supernaturally. And so Jesus is talking to each one of us. But we can maybe say in a more way, more real way, he's talking to you. Those of you whose call is to be the light and salt in the world. When you come to Mass, when you encounter a man in clerics and religious gear, you expect me, I hope, to preach the gospel, to talk about what's right and what's wrong. You expect that from us. The world needs your witness because you're just like the rest. But you've encountered Christ. You've been baptized. You've been given the light. You've been confirmed and you received the Holy Eucharist. You have everything that the world is dying for. And you've been given the charge to give it. Because also about salt and light, they don't exist for themselves. If you're hungry, I hope you don't go eat a block of salt. It's not good for you. Salt is meant for the other, to help the food, to preserve the food. Light is meant for the other. The candle doesn't burn for itself. It gives its light so that others can see. And a candle, a beautiful image, as we have the candles, they burn themselves out. They give of themselves completely so that the other can exist. The other can live. The other can see. That's your call as you live your life in the world, to bring out the true flavor of life and not to be settled and satisfied with the mediocrity of what the world wants to give us, but to bring out the true flavor, the true joy, peace, kindness, gentleness, those fruits of the Spirit. And you're called to give of yourself completely. That's why we have the crucifix so prominently displayed in our church and hopefully in our homes as a witness to what the life of a disciple is all about. Giving of myself completely for the sake of the other. At the very beginning of this Sermon on the Mount, of Jesus' inaugural speech for what the life of discipleship is, he's reminding us of the centrality of self-sacrifice, that we must give of ourselves. But like I said, the light doesn't get its light by itself. It receives it. So in baptism, we receive the light of Christ. That's part of the ritual. And then we're meant to share that light with everyone. So maybe your challenge this week is, who can you share the light with? Who in your family, at your school, at your job, in your neighborhood is dying because they don't have salt and they don't have light? They don't have the necessary things to preserve them or help them to be able to see. They don't have the light of faith. They don't have the salt of the truth, saving power of Jesus Christ. That's your charge. That's your invitation, your opportunity to change the world. And as I was listening to and praying with that reading from St. Paul in the second reading, it gives me solace and comfort that I don't need persuasive words and this grand wisdom of human eloquence. Because St. Paul says, I come preaching Christ and him crucified. The power of the cross is enough to change lives. So you may not feel adequate enough to share the gospel. You might not think you have enough theological training that you can help spread the message. That's a lie from the devil. If you've been baptized, you have the light of Christ. If you come to Mass, if you go to confession regularly, if you say your prayers, if you do acts of charity, your heart is being conformed to the heart of Christ. And that's that heart of Christ that the world needs more than anything else. So don't believe the lie that you're not ready or you're not good enough. Allow your light to shine. That's what Isaiah said in the first reading. Feed the hungry, clothe the naked, care for the oppressed. Just do the normal things that we should do of people who've met Christ. relieve the suffering, the burden of others. That's the gospel being preached in the most beautiful way. Again, you expect me to preach the catechism, to preach the scriptures. That's part of my job, and we can say all of ours. But your job in your home, in your neighborhood, is to love and to serve, especially those who are the most in need, the least fortunate among us. So again, your challenge, who in your life needs this saving message of Christ? Who is dying because they don't have salt and they don't have light? Allow your good works to shine and give glory to our Heavenly Father. That's what Jesus says. When you do these simple, these small things, you will give glory to our Heavenly Father. And then you can count yourself as blessed. You are salt and you are light. Go out and change the world.